This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dearest brothers and sisters, the title of this khutbah is Re-establishing Our Connection with the Qur'an. And there's no better time to discuss the matter of the Qur'an with Ramadan just being around the corner. Our attitude towards the Qur'an has changed dramatically from the time it was first revealed to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. The way they looked at the Qur'an and the way they were connected to the Qur'an was very different to the way we are connected to the Qur'an. And I want to speak about four main attitudes that you and I have towards the Qur'an in these times. But before we talk about the way the Ummah is with the Qur'an today, let us speak about how other people was spoken about regarding their relationship with their holy book in the Qur'an itself. If you turn to Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people of other faiths and their attitudes towards their book. Allah says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, the likeness of those that were entrusted with the Torah, لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا, but they did not carry it, they neglected to carry it, is like that of a donkey, carrying on its back asfar, which refers to sacred scriptures. What a despicable example to put forward of those that denied the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Atiyah rahimahullah said, this verse is speaking about the Jewish and Christian communities that were living in Medina or around Medina during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Qurtubi said, Allah chose the word asfar from the root of sifr, which means to hide, which expresses the way they were with their book. They would neglect its meaning and ignore its message as if they were covering it up. Ibn Ashur said, the Jewish tribes at that time in Medina, they were very proud of their Torah, and they would carry it from temple to temple, looking down at the pagan Arabs because they had no book like they had. Despite their respect for their book, they neglected to understand its teachings and to communicate it to the world. Look at this verse. Look at the contempt Allah has for those people. Allah described their relationship with their book like that of a donkey carrying on its back holy scriptures. Why? Because it doesn't matter what a donkey carries on its back, it will never know its value. In the same way, they lost the value of their book in their mind and in their hearts. This is speaking about other people, but it seems like it is talking about us, isn't it? Are we not like this? When it comes to the Qur'an, do we not also have much pride for the Qur'an? A lot of respect and love of the Qur'an. We wrap it up and we place it on the highest places in our homes. And we look down at other people. They have no Qur'an like us. We speak about our Qurra, the reciters of the Qur'an. And we love them. And we should love them. And we say we have something special. But at the very same time, do we even know what the Qur'an speaks about? Do we reflect over the message in the Qur'an? Have we ever communicated to the world the ideas that are being taught to us in the Qur'an? So this ayah was told to us by Allah in order for us to reflect over our relationship with the Qur'an. And I will present to you from my own experience the Muslim community and their relationship with the Qur'an in four different scenarios. You see, even the most casual Muslims, I'm talking about those that don't even pray, they may never fast in their lives, even the most casual Muslim has respect for the Qur'an. But despite this, what we see is that people usually interact with the Qur'an in four scenarios. The first scenario is the Qur'an for special occasions. When it's time for the wedding and you people come together, they dress to impress, They may sit in a big hall, maybe have a DJ playing music there. Then the Imam Sahib comes along. And what happens? DJ, do you mind turning the music down for a moment? We're going to have some Quran recited. Special occasion. We want the Quran to be recited in special occasions. The sisters, all of a sudden, a dabatta comes around their head. And the men sit up straight, lower their gaze. And as soon as the recitation finishes, DJ turns it back on. Goes back to what it was before. And the only time they would ever interact with the Quran is on a special occasion. Is that true or not? Number two scenario. The Quran for blessings. When a person is about to die or has died, that's when the Quran comes out. This person, even if he was a wicked man or a woman, you know what? Bring out the Quran. Let us recite some Quran. It has barakah. It is blessed. This person will benefit from it. And on top of that, so many innovative traditions have been made over the passing of a person reciting the Quran. And this is the only time they ever touch the Quran. When someone has to die, subhanAllah. وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقْ As Allah says in Surah Al-Qiyamah. When death is coming to the person, everyone becomes religious. قِيلَ مَنْ رَاقْ It is said, where's the raqi? The one who's going to recite the Quran. Everyone knows, when it comes to death, you need the Quran. Scenario number three. The Quran for remedy. When someone's ill, all medicine has failed, bust out the Quran. Isn't it? Or maybe, when your child, he was doing so well in school. You know when it came to the GCSEs? A stars, A levels, he's failing. There must be a jinn somewhere. Call the raqi. This is the time we need the Quran to cure this black magic. And this, subhanAllah, is the only time they will bring out the Quran at the last possible moment. Or maybe go one step better than this, for prevention is better than cure. So take the Quran and write it on some paper, put it in a little pouch, rear view mirror. Or better still, put it around my neck. Prevention. And the fourth scenario, and subhanAllah, the fourth scenario is the best of the four, is the person reads the Quran in order to gain reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith reported by Ibn Mas'ud, Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah said, is authentic. Man qara harfan min kitabillah falahu hasana wal hasanatu asharatu amthaliha. That whoever recites one letter of the Quran, he will be given a hasana. Wal hasanatu bi ashri amthaliha. And one hasana is like that of 10. But subhanallah, scenario number four, is it living up to the mark why the Quran was revealed? If I was to ask you a frank question, my brothers and sisters, why was the Quran revealed to us? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send it down to mankind? Why? Was it in order to read it on special occasions? For blessings? For cure? Or just for reward? Was it for one of these four? Was it for all of these four? Was it for something more than this? This question is answered in the Quran itself. Allah will tell us why He revealed the Quran. And you will be shocked that it was not for any one of these reasons. Allah says in Surah Sa'd, read it today, verse number 29. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكُ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ SubhanAllah. This verse, Allah tells us, not one, but two reasons why He revealed the Quran. And not any of them is from the four that I have just mentioned before. Allah says, firstly, in praise of the Quran, كِتَابٌ A book, أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ Sent down to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak, full of blessings. You know when something has barakah, its goodness is more than expected. And when something has barakah, its goodness lingers on. You see, one of the things, one of the biggest challenges for us in the Quran, is that we feel, either consciously or subconsciously, that the Quran, wal-iyadu billah, is not relevant to my life. This is the reality. We feel that the Quran, it speaks about the big things. That doesn't speak about my life, what I go through, and what I need. And this is something we will come to. After telling that it is Mubarak, Ibn Ashur says, subhanAllah, every verse in the Quran full of abundant goodness for the reader. And full of goodness that will last until Yawm al-Qiyamah. It is not irrelevant. And then Allah said, why did he reveal it? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا The lam in لِيَدَّبَّرُوا لَمُ تَعْلِيلُ To give reasoning. Why was it revealed? Number one reason, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا In order to reflect over the verse. The number one reason wasn't to read it, to use it for special occasions or for black magic. It was for what? To contemplate over the meaning of the verse. I ask you by Allah, when is the last time you reflected over a verse of the Quran? When? This is the first reason why Allah revealed the Quran. And maybe it is the last thing we have ever done, subhanAllah. And the second reason, لِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ In order that you become affected by the meanings of those verses. That you become admonished. You find a reminder. You feel like, wow, this has touched me. This has affected me. Who will be able to do this with the Quran? Ulul al-bab, Allah says at the end. The people who possess al-bab. Al-bab is the plural of the word lubba. Lub is the internal essence of something. Allah is speaking about the intellect. People who use their intellect. But Allah never said uqul. Allah said al-bab. You know why? The difference between aql and lub is that the lub is the mind that is pure and innocent. Not being corrupted by preconceived ideas. Sometimes someone goes to the Quran in order to search out what he wants, not to learn what Allah wants. The one who comes to Allah and the Quran with a pure, innocent mind, thinking, you know what? What does this verse say? What does it mean? Subhanallah, this is what it is telling me. I have become affected by this. This was the reason why the Quran was revealed. You know, in an amazing story, Al-Asma'i, a famous grammarian from Basra, he said, once a Bedouin visited me. And he comes to me and he's not a Muslim and he says, what do you have in your land? He said, we have the Kalam of Ar-Rahman, the speech of the incredibly merciful one. He said, the Ar-Rahman has speech? He said, yes. He said, recite some to me. He began to recite to him from Al-Dhariyat until he reached the verse, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْتِقُونَ He said, by the master of the skies and the earth, it is a truth similar to the way you speak. When the Bedouin heard that, he said, Ya subhanallah, man aghdaba al-jaleel hatta halaf. He said, who is the one who has angered Allah that he needs to take an oath by something? Do you see what happened there? He heard the verse, he began to think. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ God needs to take an oath by something to prove that he's saying the truth. Who out there? Who out there claims that Allah doesn't speak the truth? Who has made Allah angry so that he has to take an oath? SubhanAllah. The man who heard the Quran for the first time did exactly what the Quran asked of it. To reflect over the meaning and to be affected by what is being said. And many of us, we don't understand Arabic. What do we do? You see, reading a translation of the Quran is as good as it's going to get for many of us. But not every translation is the same. I'm sure you've had experience with translations. So many brackets, ancient English, you don't know where you're coming or going. But there are some very good translations now. And I'll recommend to you two of them. The first of them is the one by Aisha Bewley. Aisha Bewley's translation of the Quran, I'm not talking about any other work, I'm just talking about the translation of the Quran, is one of the best for flow and accuracy. And the second is that of Professor Abdul Halim a professor in SOAS University. Their translations are probably the best at the moment, and you can order them today from Amazon. I ask you by Allah, you take a commitment that you will read cover to cover the translation of the Quran every day, so that you finish the whole Quran once every year. Will you do that? Make a commitment to yourself. You have no idea what the Quran speaks about, subhanAllah. It doesn't just speak about hellfire and Jannah. It doesn't speak about stories. It speaks about beautiful things. This is number one. That take a commitment cover to cover once every year to read the translation of the Quran. Now the other big question. The Quran and its relevance in our lives. You know, subhanAllah, I gave a reminder once after Fajr. A short reminder, wallah, just 5 or 6 minutes. And an elderly man came to me. He's the muadhin of the masjid. And he said, you know what you just told me there? That is the story of my life. I said, what do you mean? This is a reminder. This is about the story of Musa and Khidr. One of the most bewildering stories in the Quran. Musa alayhi salam is commanded by Allah to go and seek some knowledge from somebody else. Imagine Musa alayhi salam having to go to somebody else to find some knowledge that he didn't have. His name was Khidr or Khadr. After he reached him through so many challenges and difficulties, he says to him, "Hal attabi'uka?" He says, can I follow you to learn something from you? SubhanAllah, look at the humility. Khidr, he makes it very difficult for him. He says, you don't have the patience to study with me, subhanAllah. Imagine that. You come from far away to study with someone, and they say, you don't have what it takes to study with me. Maybe some of us would say, you know what, alhamdulillah, I didn't want to come anyway. Musa alayhi salam was determined. He said, no, whatever it takes. He said, okay, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ. Don't ask me any questions. Imagine. Teacher says to you, I'm going to teach you, don't ask me any questions. He's making it difficult for him. First lesson, حَتَّى إِذَا رَكِبَ فِي السَّفِينَ. Until they went on a ship. First lesson is on a boat. He goes to the bottom deck, خِدَر فَخَرَقَهَا. He tears off a plank. Musa alayhi salam is shocked. What have you done? He says, لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا إِمْرًا. You've done something which is illogical, unethical. What are you doing? Khidr says, hang on a minute. I said to you, can't ask me any questions. Musa alayhi salam says, don't hold me to account for this, please. Another chance. Khidr says, no problem. The next lesson is even more shocking than the first one. Hatta idha laqiya ghulam. They're walking along. What do they see? A young, innocent boy. Ghulam, below the age of puberty. What happens? Khidr qatala. He kills him. SubhanAllah. Musa alayhi salam says, what have you done? لَقَدَ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. Last time he said, Imra. Now he's even more shocked. You've done something which everyone knows is wrong. What are you doing? Khidr says, I told you no questions. SubhanAllah. Musa alayhi salam, you know, I'll ask you one more question. Khalas. End of story. Khidr says, no problem. Lesson number three. They go traveling and they pass by a village, a town. فَاسْتَطْعَمَا. They ask the people to give them some drink, some food. There's no service station at those times. They knock on a door, can we have some food? Sorry, there's no food here. Knock on another door, just a sip of water, so we don't do water here. People are very mean. Those same people inside their village, they see a wall. يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْقَضَّ. The wall wants to fall down, the Quran says. You know, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa? You see the picture, you think this is going to fall down any minute now. What did Khidr say to Musa? Musa alayhi salam, roll up your sleeves, we're going to rebuild this wall. Rebuild the wall of these mean people? Musa alayhi salam says, لَوْ شِتَّ لَتَّخَدْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. If you wanted, you could take some money for that. He didn't ask a question this time. But Khidr knew he was questioning him. He said, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِي. This is the time I'm going to go my way, you're going to go your way. But before you do, I'm going to tell you the meaning behind what just took place. Firstly, that ship belonged to poor people. Just around the corner, there was a pirate, a king who was going to steal that ship if it had been in good condition. That is why I did what I did. Lesson number one, sometimes a minor harm is done to save you from a greater one. SubhanAllah. What a lesson. But what about the child? There's no good in killing the child. Khidr says, you know that boy? Righteous parents he has. But because they love him so much, يُرْهِقَهُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا, the boy would compel them to kufr and rebellion. How? Sometimes parents love their kids so much, they do anything for them, even haram. And then he said, Allah wanted to replace that child with another child who would be a better worship of Allah and a better son to them. SubhanAllah. Lesson number two, sometimes bad things happen to good people to save them from a disaster in the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. If they had him, they would have had a huge calamity in the life to come. Number three, why did you build the wall? Why? That wall, underneath it, there was a treasure belonging to two young boys, orphaned, no dad. If that wall fell, you know what the people are like? They would have come and stolen that treasure. And he said, Allah wanted أَيَّبَلُغَا for them to grow strong and old. So when it does collapse, they can manage it. Lesson number three, sometimes we beg Allah for good things to come to us. But if they came at that time, we would squander it. We wouldn't be able to benefit from it, SubhanAllah. Look at this. Ajib. Now the man, he came to me and he said, this is the story of my life. I said, how comes? He said, my story is that I was a very big businessman in Pakistan. I had a factory. He said, I employed 500 people. Then he goes, I went to Iraq. I got a contract for $1 million. Then I went to Iran, set up business there. And then I came back to Pakistan. Then my health deteriorated. I got heart problems. And so I got a bypass done. Then I said to my brothers, I'm going to go to UK and live there. When I came here, I got a phone call from my brother. He said, you know, the manager in Iran, he's defrauding you. He knows you're too weak. Then after a while, the war began in Iraq. I lost my $1 million contract. Thereafter, my brother says to me, you need to come back. The business in Pakistan is doing very bad. He says, I can't. You know my heart. He said, no, you have to. He said, I can't. He said, okay, send me your children. We haven't seen them for a while. He said, that summer I sent my kids back to Pakistan. Then my brother phones me. He said, you want to see your kids again? You better come back to Pakistan. He ransomed my own kids to me. Can you imagine? And then he goes, I had to go back to Pakistan. For the sake of my children, I started running the business again. But then my heart became weak once again. And then I said, I'm going to come to the UK and get the best treatment. He came here. He got a scan. The doctor said, you don't have four stents in your heart. You only have one. He said, I paid for four stents in Pakistan. He said, this doctor defrauded you in Pakistan. He said, SubhanAllah. At that moment, I realized everyone is trying to ruin me. Everyone. Even my own family. He said, why don't I turn to Allah now? He said, you know, after a while, I became regular in the masjid. But then I became poor. He goes, and now, he said, I had to start working in a factory for somebody else. And then he said, I came to the masjid five times a day. And they said to me, why don't you become the muadzin? You're here all the time. He goes, now I'm the muadzin of this masjid. And I'm 83 years old. He said, what you told me there is the story of my life. Because if those bad things never happened to me, I would never be prostrating my face to Allah now. I said, SubhanAllah al-Azim. How dare we ever think the Quran is irrelevant? The Quran could not be more relevant. We have just never opened our hearts and minds to the Quran. This is the real challenge for you, my brothers and sisters. The first thing was a commitment for reading the Quran once a year, cover to cover, in translation. The second is that whenever you hear about a lesson on Quran, tafsir of Quran, even if you don't know the speaker, always go to it. Never turn it down. Take your families with you. Online, any talks regarding the Quran, always listen to them. Number three, after the Fajr, 20 minutes reciting the Quran every day. A target to recite the whole Quran once every 3 months. This equates to four sides of Quran every day. Once every 3 months. And don't recite the Quran quietly with your eyes. The Quran needs to be recited out loud. Don't disturb other people, but find somebody who can recite it out loud. And subhanAllah, the word Al-Quran comes from the root of Al-Maqru' or Qira'ah, which means to recite. You know what that is telling us? That one of the ways you experience the Qur'an is not with your eyes, it's with your ears. SubhanAllah. The Qur'an is asking for you to read it aloud. And this is the impact the Qur'an will have. If you read it consistently and aloud, believe me, I swear by Allah, your life will change. I swear by Allah. My brothers and sisters, today is a day that you change your relationship with the Qur'an. Today is the day of making commitments. Ramadan is just around the corner. We ask Allah to make us people of the Qur'an. We ask Allah to make us of those that reflect, contemplate and become affected by the Qur'an. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Qur'an the light of our hearts. And to make the Qur'an that which removes any distress and worries that we experience in our lives.